A week and a half ago, the church celebrated Good Shepherd Sunday. And the images associated with a shepherd or of shepherding are often comfortable ones. Green pastures, quiet waters, the gentle breeze of a shade tree. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd who loves us and cares for us. He is our comforter and our friend. He is the gentle teacher who takes children in his arms. And he is the one who speaks of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. But suddenly in today's text, today's assigned text, we are faced with a far different image. Perhaps we are a little bit surprised with Jesus' actions. We may even become uncomfortable with what we see. For Jesus is, so to speak, cleaning house. He is in the temple, and he is moving quickly. With the eyes of authority, he's casting out the money changers and the clerks. Their money he is throwing to the ground, and their tables he is turning over and upside down. With determined steps, Jesus is half running through this flea market, casting out all those selling and buying. He even has a whip, a rope made of rushes. And snapping the stinging cords, he is driving both animals and people out of the temple. So who then is this Jesus? This is no shepherd. This is a madman. What is Jesus really up to, we ask? Why is he cleaning house? This is especially an interesting question when we understand that most of the buying and selling going on in the temple was for the ultimate purpose of worship. This buying and selling of lambs was for the annual Passover celebration in Jerusalem. The money was going for a good cause. The festival of the Passover brought lots of people to Jerusalem. Some estimates say that as many as 100,000 people may have come annually for this feast. And with large numbers of people comes large amounts of business and trade. All of a sudden, it becomes a little bit easier to see the temptation for wanting to set up shop in the temple area. We might even say that it was the annual holiday rush. And so, just what is wrong with this situation? Jesus answers in verse 13 when he says, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." It is significant that Jesus justifies the proper use of the temple with the words, "It is written." It is God and his words in Scripture, not mankind, that determines the proper use of his holy house. And again, what is the proper use of his house? Interestingly enough, the money changers were conducting a perfectly legitimate business, but it was being done in the court of the temple. The temple was being used as a place where unwarranted traffic was being carried on, and people were not able to get into the temple and pray. They were not able to direct their thoughts to God and to concentrate. But when it gets right down to it, it was not just the people that were being robbed, it was Jesus. Jesus was being robbed of his precious bride, the church. The big heist or steal here was not really money, but souls. This den of robbers had become a barrier for worship. Both Jews and Gentiles were having difficulty getting into the temple area. And when Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of worship," he was standing in the very court of the Gentiles and quoting from Isaiah chapter 56, which reads, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." Yes, all peoples, all nations, Jews, Gentiles, and total strangers were to be welcome in the house of God. By cleaning house, Jesus was not only eliminating barriers for worship, but he was also pointing out its importance as a priority in our own lives. Which leads us to ask, are there any barriers erected in our own lives which keep us away from a life of devotion and worship to God? Have we in any way become an obstacle to others? Whether one is a student, a professor, a pastor, or a secretary, there is always the challenge of trying to keep one's own house in order. How easy it is for a multitude of housekeeping duties to sweep one's time away. There are letters that should have been written weeks ago, studying to do, meetings to attend, mail to open, sermons to prepare, bills to pay. The daily list of things to do seems like it has no end. Now, obviously, they are important distractions. But are they hindering our relationship and our time of worship to the Lord? Of all the barriers to worship, perhaps pride is the most complex and dangerous. We remember the story of the Pharisee who stood in the temple and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, like the unjust, the extortioners, the adulterers, or even like this tax collector." The tax collector, on the other hand, stood afar off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." It is indeed a sin when we compare ourselves to our neighbors and glory in our own moral or spiritual accomplishments. Pride sets us at odds with each other. It blinds us from the fact that we all stand unexcused before God. And when Jesus cleans house, the message is clear. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. Whether one is a pastor or an ordinary layperson, we all have the same basic need: forgiveness. And that, of course, is why Jesus cleans house. He does not want us to forget that He alone is the one who can meet that need. He alone is the way to salvation. He alone is the way for victory and triumph over sin, death, and the devil, because He, in fact, is the temple, the one made flesh. The only way to salvation was to go right through this temple, was to go right through the very heart of Jesus Himself. Unfortunately, the chief priests and the scribes were not ready for this new temple. They were not ready for this concept of grace which came out of Nazareth. They were looking for a Messiah, all right, but they were looking for one who would come as a mighty king and would also play the role of shrewd financial advisor. And so in order to stop Jesus from ransacking the temple, and in order that they might continue making a profit there, they must get rid of this Jesus. This self-proclaimed temple must be destroyed. But this, of course, is where the great message of Easter comes in. What appears to the outside world to be death and destruction and desolation is in reality the free gift of everlasting life for the Christian. It is in death itself that is found the answer to all of our problems. In a Newsweek article entitled, "Where Have All the Heroes Gone?" Pete Axheim tells the story of James Bonham at the Alamo. While under siege, he slipped through enemy lines and rode 90 miles to the army garrison at Goliad and asked for reinforcements. But when he got there, the commander said that there was no reinforcements available. Knowing that the Alamo was doomed, he went back and joined the others and died at the Alamo. Even though he knew it would mean his own death, he did what he had to do. He went back knowing it would mean his own demise. And that is the hero aspect. Against all odds, he did what he had to do. And in our text today, Jesus in the temple does what he has to do. He came into the world he made, came back for us knowing it would mean his own demise. Against all odds, when all others would give up on us, still he loves us and claims us. Yes, against all odds, we are his, and nothing can separate us from him. But Jesus is more than just a great hero. He is that bloody and beaten sacrifice that sets us free to be the people of God. When Jesus cleans house, it does not ruin his good shepherd image. It actually reinforces it. For he was only demonstrating how much he wanted a relationship with us and the entire world. Jesus, the good shepherd, does not end his rampage as a madman. No, as the true distinguisher of law and gospel, before he leaves the temple, he goes about quickly healing the blind and the lame. Works of destruction in the temple were replaced by works of love and mercy. Listen again for this most interesting turn of events. And Jesus entered the temple of God and drove out all those who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So then, depart this day in peace, because Christ is in the midst of this temple. He has cleaned house here too. And here too he desires our worship and our praise. May God grant it. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and risen. Amen.